Accession number 18259, Reel 1.
Nicol Antrey, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Hull.
Which year was this?
In 1918.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Hull?
I did, yes.
Which school did you go
to? I went to Osborne Street School. Osborne Street, yes.
Remind me of where that is, please.
That's just along towards the end of Porter Street, if you can remember the Porter Street. Near the Allenby Road.
And how old were you when you left there?
14. I left at 14 years old.
So we're talking about 1932.
That's it.
Did you get a job?
I got a job, yes.
Doing what?
I was a errand boy, like most your boys of my age used to be at that time. An errand boy for Mallory's. They were... how do you describe Mallory's now?
Hardware firm?
That's the word I'm looking for. The hardware firm. Mm. There were two, actually, Mallory's. There was two different companies. There was a J.C. Mallory, and there was another Mallory Limited, I think. And just which one I worked for, I don't know. But I worked for one on Hazel Road for a period, delivering on the old carrier bike with a box front. And not a box front, not like the old days, but a thing at the front to put a box in, you know, a basket or something. Doing deliveries like that.
So what job were you doing when the war broke out?
I was working at for J.T. Lindsley when war broke out, and they were beer bottlers. Merchants, wine merchants and beer bottlers. They weren't brewers. A lot of people seem to think that Lindsley's were brewers, but they were not. They simply, the beer came in from the railhead, from Kingston Street Goodyard, delivered from Burton-on-Trent, and used to pick it up from there, or it was delivered by North Eastern Railway lorries. And it was bottled in the bottling plant in Mightongate. And just opposite were the stables, and I was a driver, horse driver. I used to deliver the beer round the city, all parts of the city. And Beverley, we used to go to Beverley one day a week, a Friday.
Had you joined the TA before the war?
No.
Had you heard of the TA?
I'd heard of the TA, and I was really interested in soldiering at that time. I wanted to be a soldier, you know, being a kid. And even when very young, when I was living with my aunt who adopted me, we lived at that time near Allenby Road in a street called Jane Street, which was near the end of Great Thornton Street and Walker Street, at the Allenby Road end, opposite Park Street Bridge. And I can remember, being a kid, seeing the troops coming out of the barracks in Longsborough Street, which was just round the corner from there. And they always fascinated me, the soldiers, you know. Because, you see, I was interested in horses. And of course, there were a lot of horse soldiers, you see, with the gun carriages and things. And you used to see them in the breeches and the khaki and the leather bandoliers of the ammunition pouches, you know, around that. And it really fascinated me. And then I went with my aunt and my uncle, who adopted me, military tattoos at York, held on the York racecourse. And of course I saw more of it, you say, more of the soldiers, and been to ceremonial, and I was really taken up by the soldiers, you know. And of course it stuck in my line, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a soldier.
Did you take any steps to join the army?
But at a younger age,
Eventually.
Oh, eventually, yes, yes. Well, I was working at this this bottler's. I was never out of a job as a kiddie, you see. And I palled up with a whole boy. And I don't know whether he was working at the time, but we got our heads together. We used to... He come from a bit of a boxing family, didn't this pal of mine, Charlie Coleman, they called him. Lived on Hesler Road in Bean Street. And I lived very near at that time. We'd moved from Jane Street onto Hesler Road. And I was palling with him and his family. Two or three, there was about four boys in the family. And they all were amateur boxers, you know. And I was palled to theirs. And I used to go about with them to different boxing shows and things like that. I used to do a bit of sparring. We used to have gyms in those days above premises like these streets on Hesler Road, the long streets with terraces coming off, you know. Oh, highly populated, you know. And we used to go to down there, one of them in... just trying to think of the name of the street now on Hedley Road. But anyway, it's one of these streets and the long street with the houses on the front. And every now and again, there was a merchant's yard. And in the yard, there used to be a room for a stable at the bottom, you see. And they used to be occupied usually by coal merchants, people like that, you see, living in the area. And they used to have a gymnasium above, in the loft. You know, these places had a loft, of course, upstairs for putting the hay and stuff, I would imagine, for the horses and things. And we used to use those as gymnasiums, you know. And that's what we used to we used to do. We used to go up there, and I used to do sparring with these boys. And we used to go with them if they went on some competitions, you know. Only roundabout in the east ride, too far away. When we used to go across to Lincolnshire. Occasionally, and it was with Charlie we got our heads together. I don't know how or why, but it was through me. We decided to join the army. Well, of course, I wasn't 18 by then. I just can't just remember what Charlie's age was, and I was keen on joining the horse guards at that time. This is a strange thing. And I always remember I was on 2 or 3 days holiday from work, and just say Charlie and I decided to join up. So off we went to the recruiting office, which was then on Nanlivy Road down in West Parade, I think was it? Yes, West Parade, near where the whole Royal Infirmary is now, and. Off we went there, and of course we eventually joined up. I wanted to be in the Horse Guards. In fact, we both went with the intention of going to the Horse Guards. And of course, I finished up in the Foot Guards, and strange, you know, it's a music part, always makes me laugh. He finished up going into the Navy.
Which year was which that?
This was in 36, and I was. The dates then would be the 17th of August when I enlisted, which was, of course, I was not quite 18 years of age.
What terms did you join in on?
What terms? 4 and 8. It was 4 years in the colours and 8 on the earth. It had just nicely changed. it was just before I joined. It used to be 3. And 9, 3 on the in the colours and 9 on the reserve. I say it changed just. It made quite a difference to me at that time, because had it been 3 years, I would have come out just before the war in 39. You see, I would have been recalled, obviously, like most of them were, but I would have at least come out of the army and I'd still gone back again. As I say, there were 4 years, and there was a. Thing I would like to mention, when I was a boy, well, a young man, well, I was still only young, so even then, a bit under 17, I lived on Hessel Road, down what was known as Vauxhall Grove. It's still there, Vauxhall Grove. And my aunt had a shop down there, and there used to be a chap who used to take bets. At that time, you know, betting was illegal, you know, this horse racing. And they used to, the bookmakers used to operate in clubs, and they used to employ what they call runners. And these were men who used to go stand in the streets, in certain areas of the street, and accept bets from the general public, you see. And it was, of course, there was always on alert for the police coming along, you know. And one of them was a chap called Albert Berniston. And he'd been in the Guards, and he'd done his 3 years, and he was a chap who, oh, he must have been, I don't know, coming up 10 years, I would think, older than me. And he always says to me, and he said, what you want to do? Because he used to stand in the street taking these bets just near where our shop used to be, on the corner of this terrace. And then if he got any wind of any policeman, he used to run down the terrace into some friend's house, you see, right? And say, you want to join the Guards? And then do 3 years in the Guards, he says. So it's related to what he had done. And then come out and go into the police force. He said, that's what you want. He said, I only wish I had done the same. He says, but he said, this is how I finished up being a bookies runner. So I said, what you wanted? He said, the best thing you can do. And as I say, I needed his advice.
So the idea was that having been in the Guards, it made it easy to get into a police.
Easy to get into police force, because there was such. It was much easier to get into the police force if you'd been a guardsman. Or countrywide, that was the same, I believe. You know, you had no real. You was accepted.
And. Where did you do your basic training?
I did my basic training at the Guards Depot at Caterham.
What was that like?
What was it like? Now then. it was tough, and it depended on your outlook how it went down. People have said to me after, when I said, bah, you must have been, disciplined. They said, it must have been some discipline. I said, I was disciplined before I ever went into the Guards. I said, upbringing by my aunt, who was a strictly Victorian lady. I said, and although she was very, very good, she, you know, we knew just what to do, and she taught us right from wrong. And she was a real good person, brought me up wonderfully. And as I say, I accepted, I enjoyed it. We first went there, and I remember going there, and the first night I've heard young men crying. There was a reception place in the depot, and there had been young men crying and wanting to go home. You probably wouldn't believe, but that is the absolute truth.
What had made them cry?
Because they'd seen what the discipline was like. From the moment you got in there, you never stopped. You had everything to do at the double, you know. And you just couldn't saunter along anywhere. You had to move and move quickly, you know, until you were in that barrack room out of
So were you running from place to place?
Times, yes. Not always, but you had your quick march, and depending on your instructor, your squad instructor, he said, double march, you doubled. Whatever you were wearing, kind of whatever. Because, you see, the day was split up into various functions, you see, like musketry, PT, drill, which we did a lot of, and... Of course, you have to go up early in the morning and get yourself smartened up from the first parade, you see. And there's a big barrack square there at Caterham, and there used to be squads of men, you see. You were put into squads. No, they're not. I don't think there were men in the squad. I don't know, maybe 30 men in the squad. You see, you had in charge of your squad instructor, who was a corporal, a sergeant, and you also had what was known as a trained soldier. In fact, they still had them, I expect. And he was a man who'd been to the depot and done his training, and then gone to the to a battalion and done so much at the battalion, and then transferred back to the depot as a trained soldier. And each room, each barrack room, had a trained soldier, and he was there more or less to keep an eye on things like when the NCOs went about. So he was a guardsman. And you had a daily roster, you were scouting, and you knew what you were on, and then of course you would have to turn out on the in front of the barrack block, sort of a veranda, just get under there and then fall in. And when they said fall in, you you had to move, and you never stopped then. If you went on the parade ground, you were doing whatever you was doing, drill, some sort of drill, without rifle on, but just salute first, basically. Of course, you had to start to march. And it isn't everybody who could march properly, because there was one of our chaps, I can quite remember, who had with us. And he was one of these right-hand, right-footmen that would go. He was at the same time as a right-legged arm would go. And it took him, he was some time before he could get out of that. You know, most people, when they start walking, and they swing their arms correctly, but now and again you get the one. And Herbert was his name, not as if I was trying to think of that. And he used to do that. And we spent a lot of time on the barrack square drilling, without rifles, or with rifles, and cane drill. We used to do cane drill, but a walking out cane, you know. The thing was, and everything had to be done in with a period, two, three used to be the thing. Every motion, whatever you do, used to come to attention, and then used to just count two, three, and then you do the next motion, two, three, and the next motion, whatever it was. So you were sloping arms, you see, two, three, onto your shoulder, and two, three, arm away. And everything was done, two, three, two, three, two, three, two, three. And it was difficult at first, but it came easy to me. I used to enjoy it. And then you used to have to do, you maybe had a PT session next, and you only had a few minutes, a couple of 3 minutes between sessions, and you had to be into your barrack room, changed, whatever kit you were going into, whatever session you were on, PT kit you were going into. And everything in the barrack room had to be left perfect. You couldn't just nip in and take your jacket up and throw it down. Everything had to be done correctly. And we had the beds, the iron beds, with the bottom in two halves. The bottom half used to slide into the top half. And then we had three, what we called them biscuits, and they like small mattresses, you see, three to the length of the bed, you see. And you had to put those three one on top of the other. And the blankets, you used to fold a blanket, lay it out, then put the blanket in the centre, and then, because we had luxury of sheets then before, we had the sheets in between, you see, and the blanket, then the sheet, and then wrap them over, the ends of this first blanket, wrap them over. So he made a nice oblong of blankets and sheets showing, with no obvious creases, you see, and that had to be put onto your bed, you see. And behind your bed we had a shelf. We used to put our just term it shelf kit, as we used to term it then, you see. And you had on there your khaki uniform. At that time, we were wearing the uniform like the First World War uniform, you know, the khaki, the iron neck collars, you see. You know. And you used to have that, you used to have to be folded perfect in a certain length onto the shelf, on your shelf kit. And your best pair of boots, we had, you know, what we turned on best because you have to keep highly polished. And there used to be one at either end. What else used to be on? On your caps, of course, you used to have a cap that used to sit on the top of you. And everything had to be in perfect order. We've come in sometimes, and so probably someone hasn't been good enough for the instructor, you know, squad instructor. When you'd gone on PT, maybe he wouldn't be with you. Maybe you'd say you'd be dreaming as the squad instructor. Of course, he'd have the opportunity to go around the barracks and see what it was like. And we've come back very often, and so been whipped off and scattered about the floor, you know. And then he'd come in with the instructor and he'd say, no, and then he'd tell us what it was all about, you know.
Was there anything that you were asked to do that you found difficult?
No, there was only one thing. We used to do quite a lot of PT. One thing I used to find difficult was on the vaulting horse. That's in the PT, but there was nothing else I could. We used to climb up the ropes onto, you know, onto the beams. We used to walk along the beams. I probably know what I mean when I say the beams in these gyms. You know, the oh dear, yes, and we had the beams to walk along from one side of the gym to the other. Which was, of course, it was a question of a balancing act, you see, because it weren't very wide, you see, you used to walk along those. And it was just getting your confidence together. And also on the wall bars, we used to get up onto the wall bars and with your back to the wall bars and your hands raised, you had to be off the ground, so far off the ground. Then you used to hang like that and bring your legs forward, which was, it takes a lot of doing, you see. But it strengthens your stomach muscles, you see. And you haven't got to do that many times before you really start feeling some pain, you know. And that's the one thing that used to get me. We used to do work on the big mats, you know, they used to roll on and all this, diving over rope on rolls, you know, and things like that. But the vaulting horse was my sticky thing. I'd used to hit my feet as I was going over on the turn and finish up. I could never do proper vaulting horse work like a lot of them could. You had to run to it and dive straight over, you know, but I could never do that. I tried, but I always just hit my feet and finish up in a heap at the other side.
Was your service pre-war in your first 4 years all in England?
No, let me see, first 4 years. I went in 36, 39. I went to France, the outbreak of war, in 39. You know, yeah.
Did you expect war to break out?
Well, we did, really, because there was a crisis in 38. I remember being on leave. We were all told to return to barracks. I think it was a Czechoslovakian crisis, if I remember rightly. And we were, to say there was a crisis on then, and we thought, well, it looks as if there's something, went abroad, bit of war coming along, you see. But that petered out. And then, of course, it was rife, you know, think, well, it could come any time. And so we were really, wasn't really, what shall I say, unexpected when it did come along, really.
Did you feel any sense of dismay when you heard that war had broken out?
I did, really. Good heavens, you know. Having seen films and read the First World War and how horrible a war that was, I used to think, good heavens, now is this going to be something similar? You know, you just couldn't think what it was going to be like. I was a Alder shot at the time. When I left the battalion, I went to Windsor first. I did public duties at Windsor. Windsor and then to Chelsea, where we did public duties, Queen's Guard, you know, and all other guards there was to do, opening a parliament and all this type of thing, all the ceremonial. And then, of course, we in the means in the between times was doing stunts, you know, and training and all that.
How did you like ceremonial work?
Oh, I loved it. It was really good. I used to love it.
Yes.
I went to Windsor. It was my first station. And I was in the barracks there, and I came across some good mates. Really good. The men were really your pals, really good pals, no doubt about it, you know. And I say, oh, well, Windsor Castle Guard was our first guard, you see. I just forget how long I was there at Windsor. But I was in a barrack room with a lad, and talking about this boxing, bit of boxing we used to do. When I first went to the depot, because you had to box, you know, you were a sissy if you didn't box. You had to not to look at this. And I remember we had a bit of boxing session, and I thought, how somebody would knock me for a six, right? And then when I went to Windsor, I met up with a chap, and he joined the Metropolitan Police Union, and they called him Archie Lear, and he was the heavyweight champion of the Brigade of Guards at that time. And you've probably heard of Jack Doyle, who was the Irish heavyweight champion. Well, he was British heavyweight champion at that time. And he was at Windsor. There was a public house, not Windsor, I'm trying to think of the name, the Star and Garter. This public house at Windsor, and they had a gymnasium there above the Star and Garter, and a lot of the boxers used to go in. And Jack Doyle was there when he was preparing for fights, and this Archie Lear, this pal of mine, he had permission to go and be a sparring partner, and he used to travel up to go across, you know, city to Windsor, from barracks to Windsor, and do this. Sparring partner, and he was a real good pal of mine, and I used to get on with him, and he used to fight in the barrack, friendly, you know. Oh, you knock one another about, but it was really good fun, and as I say, we used to do the guards at the castle, and there was one instance I would like just later to call, which this was the first time I got myself into any bother, and punishment-wise, you know. we mounted guard, and I don't know if you've seen when the guard mounting, you have a certain routine to fix your bayonets, you see. They don't just say, "Right, all lads, put your bayonets on," you know. You have a proper routine now to do what you see, and you stand there. And the right-hand man of the guard or whatever it was, the full battalion, whatever, he used to have to walk out to the front 7 paces, and then you were directed by him how you fit your bayonets, you see. He used to walk out 7 paces, and you had to watch him, and then he'd put his hand up like this, you see. Put an arm up, and then he'd bring it down. That was your cue then to get your bayonet, which was hanging on your belt, on the bayonet throw, to get it down in a position where he could get it out quickly, you see. And then I think he put his arm up again, then you had to pull it out. And of course, you all did it together, you see. That was the thing. That was and slip it onto the top of your rifle, you see. And there was